Hi, I'm Andrew Burton. I'm the editor of SearchDataBackup.com, and I'm here today with Ben Wu to talk about recent developments in the tape library robotics area. Ben is the managing director of Neuralytics. How's it going today, Ben?
Good. How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to the weekend. Nothing too crazy going on, but just supposed to be real nice weather here in Boston.
Yeah, and same down here in New York. So.
Awesome. All right, so first, can you just outline some of the recent developments in the tape library robotics, stuff that you think is interesting?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is the fact that we continue to have developments there. It's certainly not the fastest moving part of the industry, but the fact that there continues to be development, continues to have advances and engineering made, is a reflection of the fact that robotics and tape in general is still a very important part of the overall IT and data backup industry.
Okay, cool. And also, since tape is being used more as an archiving medium nowadays, how do these types of robotics advancements sort of improve tape's viability for archiving?
Absolutely. So, yeah, from an archiving perspective, what we're looking at and where tape really comes into play is that it's less often, and not that it doesn't happen, but it's certainly less often that when we retrieve data from an archive that we really are looking for random pieces of data. Usually, and if you can think about situations such as data restoration or legal discovery, for example, two very typical uses of archives, you're looking for chunks of data or fairly large amounts of data. And the streaming nature of tape technologies overall makes tape a very viable and actually a very appropriate medium for both storing and restoring the data that's involved. Where robotics comes into play is as we move towards a more and more real-time and certainly a more dynamic set of requests, queries, and data storage of these pieces of data, the robotics aid in the ability to find the right tape quicker, in the ability to load the tapes, and also relocate them back in a way that is most appropriate, while at the same time being able to provide a physical storage medium that is accessible and addressable. And the last two things, the accessibility and the addressability, become the critical element of tape robotics.
Okay, sweet. So, obviously there's been some improvements and advancements in that area, but what do you see as like sort of the biggest limitations with tape library robotics today?
Well, it's certainly the interchange between modules. You know, one of the biggest elements that we've seen over the last 5 or 10 years is this concept of modularity. If you go back about 20 years ago, the powder horns from storage tech were the utopian ability to store massive amounts of data. You walk into this room, literally, with this flying robotic arm with great sensors and great ability to fly around and get the right tape at the right time. The challenge with that, of course, is it's completely not scalable. You buy it in one size. It's like the Model T. Would you like it in big, or big? With modern-day tape libraries, you're able to scale it from much smaller modules to very large interconnected modules. However, it's really the interchange between those modules that become more challenging. What is the handoff mechanism, if there is one? What is the mechanism for a robot to go between all these modules? In some cases, some of these modules can take up tens of linear feet. And it's important that the robot be able to transparently go across all of them, number one. And number two, it may be necessary that other robots across these modules be able to load different tapes at the same time, and coordination of these robots become a critical element. So there are two ways of doing it from a linear perspective. There's the horizontal way and the vertical way. I'm sorry, there is not any more interesting than that. So libraries can be interconnected from a horizontal perspective, typically the larger libraries where they are connected side by side. And then the smaller tape libraries or the automated tape libraries typically are vertically interchanged. So you essentially stack rack modules one on top of the other, and the robot arm goes between them. So those are the two things that are going on, and the scalability becomes very, very important, because what we're seeing is the fact that generally most organizations want to buy less tape. Critical observation here, not no tape, but less tape. Two reasons for that. One is that we can store a hell of a lot more on the tapes today than we ever had before. Number two, we're using a lot more disk-based tape libraries, virtual tape libraries, which are offsetting some of the investments in streaming tape technologies. So we want to start off or refresh our tape investments with smaller units. But what we're also finding over the years is that we return to this scaling, and we return to this desire to grow our tape libraries because we see benefits in the data that's being stored. And ultimately, you know, this conversation go on into big data and to other forms of analytics. So it's critical for organizations to be able to start small again and then build out over time.
Okay, great. Ben, that's a lot of good info. Thanks a lot for taking the time to speak with me today.
No problem.
Okay, and for more information about tape and other backup topics, please visit searchdatabackup.com. Thanks for listening.